The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. Sam Bridges and Tom Carnder with you for another week talking all things Football League. We've got not just any old Yorkshire news this week. We shall be joined by a very special guest. More on that in a few moments' time as we look back on all of our side's action across the Football League from the weekend. Elsewhere, we look at Gary Caldwell being appointed the new boss of Chesterfield. We'll get Joe Rawson, a Chesterfield expert's thoughts on that. We'll talk about the news from the rest of the Football League, including Philippe Montagnier. Me and Tom will regret saying the name of Philippe Montagnier. Good days, bad days as well, the original Tom Carnder feature. We've got plenty of games as well tonight. We've got FA Cup replay action and of course a little bit of Checker Trade Trophy, because it wouldn't be a Tuesday night without it, and transfer gossip as well, including the new valuation of Chris Wood. It's soaring. And will Robbie Keane return to English football? We'll find out from Tom. Yes, welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire for another week. Sam Bridges and the editor of the72.co.uk, Mr. Tom Carnder. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm surprised you're doing well, because I said to you before, it's a little bit overgrown. You're looking a bit dishevelled.
I was thinking about kind of trimming this facial hair. I would call it a beard, but it's just kind of a mess. I need to sort it out, and I will do so. This is going to be like, what was it? I'm sure you used to go on about my hair, but I got that cut and, you know, life went on.
Yeah, so, you'd sort yourself out for a while, but at the moment, not. So, yeah, for next
week. Keeping warm for the winter.
You need to be respectable, because you can not only listen to the show on DAB and online, but you can watch us as well as ever on the Radio Yorkshire website, but also tonight via Facebook as well, facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire, which is no good, because one of the guests we've got, first and foremost, isn't even here. Down at Oakwell. We'll touch base with Naz Premji in a few moments' time, but we do start the show as ever with Yorkshire news, and let's just get through League One first, Tom, because Naz, he's a self-styled championship guru, but Sheffield United at the weekend, 4-1 hammering at 14th place Walsall. What is going on?
I know, I think we should have started with League One today, because been two shock results involving the two Yorkshire clubs at the top end of League One, and one of those, like you said, Sheffield United losing 4-1 to a Walsall side who really haven't looked as impressive as they have been this season. And, well, I know this kind of winning streak that they were building, it wasn't going to go on forever, but to lose in the style that they did, I'm sure that's going to be very disappointing. And, you know, you're going to need to turn it around as quickly as you can with kind of how tight it is towards the top end of League One.
Indeed, yeah, a lot of teams in the mix. As you said, these runs don't last forever, but a pretty emphatic defeat, and important now for the manager, you know, that the wheels don't come off a little bit and they bounce straight back.
Yeah, definitely, and you can't even kind of point and go, well, Walsall have been in great form recently. They've been very hit and miss. It's been win, draw, lose. It seems to be their form. They can't really get like a continued run of results. So fantastic result for them. But for Sheffield United, it was a big surprise that, you know, you just couldn't really see this Sheffield United side getting beat like that with the way they've been playing in recent weeks. They've been the ones who've been scoring four goals, not been conceding that many either, really. So, yeah, massive surprise. And like I said, going to have to look to bounce back in the next game.
They do remain top of the league, of course, 56 points, a point ahead of Scunthorpe. Bradford, though, also suffered defeat and, well, losing quite a bit of ground now in terms of the automatic places. 10 points behind Scunthorpe, 11 points behind Sheffield United, even 5 now behind Bolton, who are in third place in the division. But a surprise result for Bradford as well.
Yeah, we spoke about this kind of run of draws that they were in a couple of weeks ago, and I think that's kind of hurting them now, especially when they have lost to a team like Shrewsbury, who, OK, they did have a managerial change recently, but they're still at that end of the table. They're still really struggling in recent weeks. So for them, again, much like Walsall, it's a fantastic result. But like Sheffield United for Bradford, they're going to be looking at it and thinking, really, it should have been one that they could have won when you look at really how Shrewsbury have been in recent weeks. And like I said, they're at the bottom end of the table. And this is a Bradford side who... it's going to be a big ask, but they're not out of touch of the top two, and they're certainly going to be playoff contenders this season.
And quickly, just dropping into League Two, Doncaster, 3-1 win over Barnet, but now getting some real daylight in terms of the automatic places.
Yeah, five wins out of their last six. That other is a draw, and fantastic result there. Like you said, three teams go up in League Two, now formed that 10-point gap over Portsmouth. I'm sure they'll be aiming to win the league, but priority's got to be trying to get back up into League One and try and push themselves back up the Football League ladder. So, like I said, fantastic result for them. The gap's kind of increasing, and even the gap on Plymouth. Plymouth have got a game in hand, but that 4-point gap is there. So it's all looking positive at Doncaster at the moment.
Indeed, positivity. Let's bring in our very special guest this evening down at Oakwell for the FA Cup replay between Barnsley and Blackpool this evening. Good evening, Mr. Naz Premji.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Sam. Good evening, Tom. Good evening, world. Yes, I'm very well. Yeah, why would I not be well, Sam?
You're always well, Naz.
On a Tuesday night for an FA Cup tie that hopefully will be finished in 90 minutes.
Fingers crossed. What kind of sides are we expecting tonight from both teams?
Well, do you know what? You'd expect Barnsley to be making wholesale changes, but their squad simply isn't that deep for them to do so. I expect, actually, George Moncur and Adam Armstrong both to start, especially Adam Armstrong, now that he is a Barnsley player till the end of the season. It just makes sense for him to start. I think whispers are that Moncur will start, and potentially changes on the wing as well. Again, I'm not sure what the deal is with Ryan Kent, but I'm pretty sure Liverpool will allow him to play, so I'd expect him to start as well. So potentially two or three for Barnsley. In terms of Blackpool, well, Brad Potts could be a doubt. He limped off with a hamstring problem in their 0-0 draw at Cambridge. But there's more incentive for me, gents, for Blackpool, because the awaiting fixture in round four is a trip to Ewood Park. So it'd be a nice Lancashire derby for Blackpool. I know you're a frequent visitor there, Sam.
Not anymore, Naz. I don't think I'll be going for quite some time, to be fair. Yeah. But a Lancashire derby would be very tasty. And I'm sure Blackpool would fancy it there as well, with Blackburn in a little bit of disarray. But I'm sure Barnsley would as well.
Yeah, do you know what? I think there's something to be said about cup runs. You know, a lot of managers and coaches maybe deride the cups these days. For me, I think Paul Heckingbottom is not in that category. He'll be taking this very seriously. Want to get the job done and get them through to round number four. Of course, you got to remember as well, for a club like Barnsley, the financial aspect of this is pretty important as well. And, you know, fingers crossed that they don't have to sell some of their big stars for the big money in January, and they can keep them till the end of the season. Then, you know, it's good for this squad, this young squad, and this ambitious squad to progress in the FA Cup.
And for Barnsley at the moment in the league as well, if we kind of look at the Championship picture as a whole, it's been a very good season. They sit 10th. It was defeat last time out against Fulham at the weekend. But Paul Heckingbottom will be delighted with what his team have done so far this season.
Let's be honest, gents. They are overachieving in this league. They shouldn't be anywhere near where they are, but they are because of Paul Heckingbottom and the squad of players he's got. It'll be interesting to see what the end of January brings in terms of who he's got left, because if, rumours are to be believed, then James Bree, Mark Roberts, Conor Hourihan all could be making the exit. But, again, the money's going to have to be right for Barnsley. You know, in the form of Bree and Roberts, it's going to have to be big, big money.
And then you touched on it there, Naz, that these players that you mentioned, especially Hourihane, there's been that kind of, I think, close kind of happiness Barnsley, and you're looking at Hourihane as one of those players to keep.
Yeah, exactly. He's the skipper, but, you know, if as is reported, Wednesday are in for him and he's going to get big money, would you move now or do you wait till the summer? He's in a good position. You know, now Winnall's gone, is it going to be a revolving door here? Because the fact that Winnall's gone, if I'm Carlos Carvalhal and I've lost Kieran Lee for the season, and I know, you know, there are other people there in our squad, and I say ours because everybody knows I'm a Wednesday fan, there are people there to replace him, but if you're getting Winnall, you might as well dip your toe in, and if you can, for a couple of million quid, or even 1.5, get Hourihane, because he's excellent. He's an excellent midfielder, and he would be an ideal replacement for Kieran Lee, who's out for the season. So it's important for Barnsley to try and keep them, but if they don't, they need to get good money for them. You know, James Bree, I think, has been linked with various clubs. I think Manchester City, Burnley. I think Burnley are in for Roberts as well if they lose Michael Keane. Both those players are very, very good. And for me, if I'm in the, you know, if I'm spending the chairman's money, if I'm going to get Roberts, I'd get McDonald with him as well and just take the partnership. And then they're a good pairing.
And then, well, you mentioned Sam Winnall there. For me, that I'm sure you agree, that's probably one of the most underrated transfers of the window so far. It's
Tommy, it's the best deal of the window so far in terms of value for money and what you are getting. He was the difference on Saturday against Huddersfield. He came on at half time, changed the game. And if you look at the goals again, the first goal, Ross Wallace has got so much time and space. Have a look at Sam Winnall. There's two Huddersfield defenders on him because they're frightened of what he's going to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's given Ross Wallace, former Burnley legend, of course, to do what he did and, you know, and let fly. And the rest, as they say, is history. But yeah, do you know, there's this sort of production line of young talent that they have here. It's brilliant because they pick them up. There's some coming through the academy, and then they pick them up from various locales. I mean, Mark Roberts was playing non-league. I think he was at Halifax, if I'm not mistaken. And Angus McDonald was Reading reserves and had a little spell at Torquay, if memory serves me correct. But it just shows you, if you do a little bit of homework, those bargains and those gems are there to be picked up.
Yeah, and then for Wednesday, obviously, you said it, you're a Wednesday fan. This has got to be the start of kind of that pushback. Well, I say start, they're in sixth at the moment. But you look at the fixtures ahead, Brighton, of course, massive game, tough game. But then Bristol City, Wigan, Birmingham, Blackburn, Nottingham Forest, these are all winnable games for Carvajal's side.
They are winnable. I'm hoping that we can go to Brighton. If we nick a point, I'd be delighted if we can get a win. And we've proved we can go to these big sides and win. Went to Newcastle and won. So Brighton should be no different. And the thing is, I don't think we go there with any fear. Teams have been going to Brighton and they're probably fearful. We're a team that aren't fearful. And if we lose, we lose. But we, you know, Carlos Carvalhal is one I've worked out in the short time that he's been there. He's not one of these sort of apprehensive coaches that will go in with a defensive outlook. He's no. We'll find their weaknesses, we'll try and exploit them, and we'll be on the front foot and try and play our game. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good push. And I think the fact that Leeds, Huddersfield and Wednesday are up there, I think it's great for Yorkshire, and it's great for all three teams. And I think they're each team is sort of pushing each other, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the three, we'll get on to Leeds in a moment, but Huddersfield, people have tried to write them off, say that the run will end at some point. They've had a couple of heavy defeats along the way, but they've always bounced back and always been remained in contention. Do you think they will last the distance and be a top six team this year, Naz?
Is Andy Lawson listening?
He's not. He's in the car on the way back. I'm sure he's listening.
I think they will. I think they will last the pace. I just look at the teams below. I was worried when Steve Bruce went into Villa, but that's not really kicked in yet. You know, when you're losing to Wolves, you've got to be asking questions. And Derby as well. You know, there's a gap now. And if the three teams that are in those three spots, in 4, 5 and 6, if they just keep picking up points and winning, Sam, I think the top six could stay as it is. I really do, you know, because the gap is 5 points. If Wednesday were to get a point on Saturday, it would increase it to 6. It means, you know, somebody's going to have at least a 2-game swing to even get in, which at this point of the season, I know it's doable, but it's very, very difficult as well.
Yeah, obviously Derby were flying. I've had a couple of dodgy results in that. Well, they're unbeaten, without a win now in 3 games for Derby. Back-to-back defeats for Steve McLaren's side. But the rest, Fulham in 8th, they've been up and down. Preston, again, very similar. Barnsley, we've already spoken about them. Norwich have had a wretched season, really, for them so far. Birmingham completely dropped off. And then you're down to Villa, who you mentioned, in 13th position. So at the moment, you can't really see... that you're struggling to find that team that is going to have a real good run and challenge the top 6 or 7 if you include Derby.
And that's my point, Sam. I just, you know, I don't think that the teams below are consistent enough to do that. Now, come the end of the window, and if other teams below have strengthened significantly, then I'll change my opinion. But at this point, as we speak tonight, no, I don't think so. I think the top 6 will stay as it is.
And Leeds United, in very good form at the moment. They sit 3rd in the table. Tom's a Leeds fan. He's very happy.
Yeah, I know that, unfortunately.
Could Leeds at the moment, could you see them attacking Brighton and Newcastle? Or do you think it's those two teams will be ahead of the rest and it's a battle really between 3 and 6 for the positions?
No, I've got to say, Sam, I think all positions... and I say all positions are up for grabs. I don't think the top 2 are not catchable or are infallible. They will go through their dodgy patch. Mark my words. Those two positions 1 to 6, okay, are, I think, sorted. But which order is not sorted? And I think there is every chance for Wednesday, Huddersfield and Leeds to catch those top 2. Definitely. And the reason I say that is at Newcastle have been picking up points and wins without playing very well. I've seen them a few times this season and, you know, they've lost. Blackburn did the double over them. Blackburn. Mm. I mean, any... Owen Coyle has out-tactic Rafa Benitez. Just think about that for one second, okay? I think Leeds are on a great run. I was at Elland Road for Friday night's game, and they made Derby look very, very ordinary. And Derby are not ordinary, believe you me. And when you've got Ronaldo Vieira bossing the midfield and bossing a midfield of Craig Bryson, Bradley Johnson, and I can't remember the other one now, but he was brilliant. And there's no fear with Leeds. You know, you looked at those two lineups, and Tom will admit this. If you looked at the team sheets, you're thinking, my goodness me, look at that Derby line, look at the strength there. And you're looking at the Leeds lineup, you're thinking, okay, this could be a tricky night, but it wasn't. And I think you've got to credit Gary Monk with what he's done, and you've got to credit the job that the players are doing, and the whole sort of setup now, you know, with Mr. C and Mr. R. You know, they're getting on, and as long as it stays calm and there's no stupidity, then why not?
Do you go along with that, Tom?
Yeah, I'd say it's certainly when you're looking at teams on paper, just the teams, the squads as well on paper, when you compare. For me, I've always looked at Wednesday, especially from last season, as look at the squad, look at the quality they've got throughout that squad. And then you're looking at Leeds, not the biggest squad anyway, but compared to the teams around them, it's on paper anyway, you think, well, they shouldn't be where they are. You know, I had us down as maybe pushing for playoffs at the start of the season, but might just miss out. And it just shows what a job Gary Monk's done, and, you know, what a bit of stability and kind of the right things in place can actually bring. Because, you know, at Leeds, it's the first time I've been to a Leeds game in a while and genuinely enjoyed 90 minutes of good entertaining football. So it's all positive.
And we know, Naz, you've got a special place in your heart for Rotherham United. Bottom of the league, a horrible season for them. Paul Warner has brought a little bit of positivity. Some wins are on the board. They've got 16 points at the moment. That's nine away.
Yeah, the gap was 12 at the weekend. It's now 9, OK? If they, you know, they're at Newcastle on Saturday, and there's a prime example, right? Newcastle-Rotherham. It should be 7, 8, 9, potentially, you know, with the two squads. But if, and I say if they can nick something there, yeah, a point, or even a gallant defeat, a 1-0, the teams above them are going to get nervous. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying the great escape's on by any stretch of the imagination, but you just wonder, if they just keep nicking the odd win here and there, and he's going to bring in a couple of players. I don't know if he's announced Diego Raga, but I think Diego Raga's happening, and there's a couple of others potentially heading to Rotherham this week. You never know. You just never know, because it's crazy. The Championship is a crazy, crazy league. And I do feel for Paul Warren, because every interview you do with him, he's got a big smile on his face. He loves doing what he's doing, but he's categorically said, I'm only doing this because the chairman's asked me to. Don't want the job, don't want the pressures, don't like speaking to the media, don't like... Well, he does like speaking to the media. Certain media doesn't like. When you send Tom Feeney down, he's not a fan. but yeah, he's, you know, he doesn't... He openly admits doesn't want the gig on a full-time basis, but will do it till the end of the season. And the players are responding to him. You know, I was there on Saturday, gents. Jerry Yates, young lad, he was on loan at Harrogate Town, if memory serves me correct. Lost his grandfather the previous night. Paul Warren sat him down and said, look, give me 60 minutes, 70 minutes, whatever you can. He said, no, Gaffer, I'll play the full game. He was brilliant. He was man of the match, scored the goal, set, you know, he was everywhere. And afterwards, at the full-time whistle, you could see how emotional of a day it was and an emotional time for it. And Warney was the first one to go, give him a big hug. He took the adulation of the crowd. And, you know, that you can't buy that kind of spirit. And you can't bottle that kind of team morale and team bonds like that. You know, you won't get that at a... You won't get that at a Man United. You won't get that at a Chelsea or somewhere like that. Do you know what I mean? This is only possible at places like Rotherham and in teams in the Championship in League One and League Two.
It's interesting how Rotherham's, the mindset of the squad of the players seem to buy into the short-term managerial approach. It happened with Neil Warnock last season, who did a similar thing, get the smiles on the players. With the likes of Ronnie Jepson and Kevin Blackwell in the backroom staff. And again, Paul Warren has managed to re-energise the players by just doing the simple things.
Well, let me tell you, Paul Warren, he's the striking coach, but openly admits he was a rubbish striker. He's got Matt Hamshaw on his staff, yeah, who was a very good player for us. Wasn't world-beater, but he was very good. But as a coach, you can see he's directing traffic in the technical area. Very, very good. John Brecken from the past brings that sort of Rotherhamness to the coaching party. He's the one that will be joking around and making sure everybody's sort of lively. It was Ronnie Moore's assistant, had a spell as manager as well at Rotherham. And, of course, now they've got Mike Pollitt back as goalkeeping coach. And as a quartet, what they've done... is basically giving the players belief in their own ability. And let's be honest, Kenny Jackett, well, that was just a joke. And even the Alan Stubbs appointment was a joke, because he got rid of so many players. I mean, Richie Smallwood came back in, having been binned out by Stubbs to Scunthorpe, which was the craziest, craziest decision. You're in the Championship, you need somebody who's going to get on the ball, put a few tackles in, middle of the park, just be a bit of a grafter, and you send him out on loan to Scunthorpe. I mean, that's just, it was a disgraceful move from Alan Stubbs, and he came back in Saturday, he was brilliant. And you can see there's something about them. I'm not saying they'll stay up, but they'll give it a good go.
Naz, thank you very much for joining us. We shall let you go before you get in trouble elsewhere.
No, you're right.
But thanks very much for joining us, Naz, and we shall catch up with you again soon.
A pleasure, gents.
There we go. Naz Premji live from Oakwell ahead of Barnsley Blackpool at FA Cup replay. And well, right now we can hear from the man himself, the man who is breathing life back into Rotherham United, Paul Warren, after the game and sensational win against Norwich at the weekend.
The interim boss of Rotherham, Paul, how big a win was that today? It's a big game for us. Obviously, we need to start winning our home games, pick up points at home, and then see what we get on the way. And it was a massive game, obviously. Thought the lads performed really well. They gave me everything they could physically, and that's all I asked. I asked them to be 11 gladiators today and literally fight and scrap. It was going to be a war for us. You know, if we go toe-to-toe with footballing teams and play the way they play, we were obviously going to come out losing, unfortunately. So I asked them to go out and fight and turn them and make the game ugly, and I didn't think Norwich would fancy that. And to come away with a win, and I thought we were excellent second half. I'm obviously over the moon.
How key do you think the sending off was for Norwich centre forward Oliveira?
I don't know. If I'm honest, I was disappointed he got sent off. That sounds stupid, but I knew that that would then give each one of the Norwich players an extra 10% and probably up their game and feel like they've got something to prove and probably give them that little bit of aggression which possibly they didn't have in the first 10-15 minutes. So obviously it swung the game for them. They, you know, they threw the kitchen sink at it, and an excellent team. So when it went down to 10 men, I panicked, if I'm truly honest. So, you know, even though for 80 minutes or whatever we played against 10 men, I thought, you know, the effort my lads put in and their determination and group ethic was amazing.
What about the performance of young striker Jerry Yates, who ended up scoring the goal, but thought it was a constant threat throughout the game?
Wow. I mean, he lost his grandfather yesterday, so it was a hard day. I lost Wardy, I lost Blackstock, and he's my third striker. And we all said to him beforehand that, you know, I said it in the group meeting that, you know, we all think in this room that you're good enough to play, and you're playing against probably the best centre half in the league, so there's no pressure on you. Just go out and enjoy yourself. I thought it was amazing, and it's amazing how, you know, that work ethic sort of goes out of the modern day footballer. I think he just runs and runs and runs, and if you do that, you get your just rewards. And you know, obviously, there's all rumours about Wardy, but you know, if he plays like that every week, I'll do well to keep hold of him.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
There we go. Paul Warne speaking after Rotherham's victory against Norwich at the weekend. Thanks to Naz Premji for joining us from Oakwell. Well, we shall move on now and do the news from the rest of the Football League. First, though, Tom, we'll talk about Nottingham Forest. It's been, well, another horrible week in their recent history. The takeover of the club, which we talked about last week, collapsing. And then Philippe Montagnier, our favourite manager by name alone, has got the boot.
It's been a crazy week for a side that are struggling. It's not like they've got much to cheer about, the Nottingham Forest fans, for that team on the pitch. And then now, of course, this incoming pending takeover was something, you know, that provided that positivity, a bit of hope. That's fallen through. And like you said, now sacking the manager, I think that's not as much of a surprise. The team were struggling, but I imagine that they were hoping for this takeover to go through to get someone like Gary Rowett in, who was in a similar situation in Birmingham and could probably turn them round. And now it's, I think, according to the bookies, Billy Davies is the favourite for a return. So we are, kind of a what could have been, but it's difficult to kind of understand what's going on at the club, what's going on the pitch as well. It's just not very positive, and it hasn't been for a few years, let's face it.
Well, no, yeah, the club's been up and down. Obviously, there's been transfer embargoes, that the owner is unpopular. But in terms of on the pitch this season, it's been an incredible free-fall, when you consider they had, at the end of November, mid-November, they won three games in a row. They beat Ipswich away from home. They beat Barnsley 5-2 away from home. And then at the City Ground, they beat Newcastle United on the 2nd of December. From then, they haven't won a game in seven, five of those being defeats. And they've gone from 13th place in the table to 20th. It's crazy, really, when you think that they had those very three good results back to back.
Yeah, especially when you factor in Blackburn and Burton have shown that they are capable. Like Naz says, Blackburn, Owen Coyle out tacticking Rafa Benitez. Those teams have shown that they can pull results out of the bag. Okay, much like Forest, it's not as regular as I'm sure they'd like, but they can get the wins. The gap is only 3 points from the relegation zone for Forest, and they're not even in the cup anymore. There's kind of not that cup distraction, and it's difficult to see how he could have kept the job from there on. But you know, like I said, there's not really many candidates that are available. The obvious one would be, of course, Gary Rowett, but now that takeover's not happening, it said that he's not interested in coming, so yeah, it's a bit bleak.
It seemed like he was all ready to go.
Yeah. he was, as ever with kind of takeovers, they line managers up, ready to come in. And that's how close his takeover was. It'd been going on from about the summer, I think. It wasn't exactly a short process. And yeah, like you said, it's just difficult how to put a Forest, a club that, you know, only a couple of years ago were at the other end of the table. They had a good team, a good side out, and now, you know, like a few other clubs who have been in the Championship in recent years, they could well enter a bit of a free fall if something's not sorted and something's not sorted quick.
At the moment, they're 3-1 to get relegated. If I gave you £5 now, would you put it on?
Like I said, with Blackburn and Burton's ability to pull out the odd result, they're just struggling to find any real form. You mentioned three wins on the bounce, but since then it's been terrible. You know, the draw at the weekend broke up a run of five straight losses. There's just no positivity around. There's little kind of hope of what's to come. And like I said, the managerial market coming in, there's not really someone who can come in who's going to bring the fans back on board, who's going to kind of vitalise the team. It's difficult to see how, at the moment, they're a team that could avoid the drop.
And if you were listening to Nas Premji earlier and you heard his real positivity around Rotherham United, 16-1 you can get for Rotherham to stay up. Would you be having £5 on that if I gave you it now?
Probably not. I think, I don't know, I think the uncertainty obviously now won't stay until the end of the season. I don't know, I think it's a case of they need to drop down to League One to rebuild, to bounce back stronger like teams have done in recent years. But it's difficult. You know, it's a great result from at the weekend. They have pulled out some good results this season, but it just seems a bit too big of an ask, especially at this stage of the season.
And of course, Blackburn, they are 4-6 to stay up. And as ever, it's the top kind of second feature, the 32nd. Cole, we always talk about Blackburn. You always talk about Mick McCarthy as well. It's
yes,
somewhat of an FL 72 derby at the weekend between Ipswich and Blackburn.
It was McCarthy v Coyle, and of course McCarthy came out on top. But yeah, of course going to talk about the games later, but fantastic result for Ipswich, for McCarthy as well, just to relieve that pressure. There's a lot of fans calling for him to go. But yeah, against a Blackburn side who, you know, they're in a battle for something. Ipswich are kind of in mid-table. And as you kind of enter the back end, second half of the season, that could be problematic. But yeah, good result. And hopefully for Ipswich, they can finally push on and really push themselves away from, you know, finishing 18th, 19th, 20th around there.
Indeed, it was 3-2 in the end to Ipswich at the weekend. And as ever, we've tried to count Owen Coyle's post-match interview. He talks very quickly. See if you can count the words.
Yeah, we had been. And again, I mean, when you look at today, I mean, coming away from home as we did again, Huddersfield was obviously the last away game in the league before that. It was Queen's Park Rangers in the Cup, and then in Newcastle. Of course, we worked very hard, as we did today. But you cannot make individual error that, like, you know, so obvious. I mean, there'll be mistakes. People make them in the games, but not as glaring as what they were today. They were easily to cut out. I mean, the first ball into the box, just clear the edge of the box, and that's it. They can't score from wherever the ball ends up. But we try to pull it down and be clever, and really that's just got to be effective and clear your lines.
Even when he's struggling to get his words out, he's still doing at least 5 words a second.
See, I was worried that Owen Coyle is a regular listener, because listening back to that post-match interview he did after that Ipswich game, he started off very slow, very normal pace, and I was thinking, oh, okay, maybe he's changed his ways, but, you know, he just can't help. He needs to get it all out. Needs all to be said. Exactly that. And I think that's one of my favourite of the season, because it starts off slow and kind of lures you into that, oh, I can count this time. But no. Bam. Fast talking Owen Coyle.
Good luck if you manage to count the words, the 32nd Coyle this week. We'll be back in a few moments' time on the FL72, where we're going to talk Chesterfield. They've got a new gaffer. We'll get the insight next.
Leeds United Live on Radio Yorkshire is brought to you in association with Coral. Join me, Mark Wilson, Neil Redfern and Andrew Stats-Dalton for full match coverage of every Leeds United game, home and away. Coral are the official betting partner of Leeds United, and if you sign up today, you can get £20 in free bets when you bet just £5. Head to coral.co.uk/LUFC to find out more.
Leeds United Live, in association with Coral, official betting partner of Leeds United. Sign up today at coral.co.uk.
At Oak Furnitureland, everyone knows our furniture is 100% real hardwood.
And it's also 50% off.
But most importantly, it's 100% real hardwood.
Yes, but don't forget, it's also 50% off.
At Oak Furnitureland, quality and price are both important. So make sure you don't miss our January sale, where everything's 100% real hardwood with up to 50% off. The Oak Furnitureland January sale must end this Sunday. Visit oakfurnitureland.co.uk to find your nearest store.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Yes, welcome back to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for another 20 minutes when we bring you the evening show with Tom Maguire. Now, we promise you we are talking Chesterfield, and well, we've dragged in a Chesterfield expert to talk now on the show about the new Chesterfield manager, fresh from, well, a domestic Joe Rawson, you're telling us.
Yes. My missus not best pleased with my attempt to do a whitewash. Apparently, I've tried to put in a white T-shirt, but it's got red stripes on.
Oh.
And her tops are now pink.
Oh, dear.
Looking forward to going home, so I'm here all week, if you like.
Yeah, it'll be a very slow drive home for Joe after the news at 7. But Joe, bringing it back round to football, you, of course, cover Chesterfield in your other work. And we spoke last week about the search for the new manager. It has now been concluded. Gary Caldwell, the man. Has this gone down well with Chesterfield fans?
It has. I mean, Gary Caldwell's name was in the running from the off, really. He's been out of work since being harshly sacked, I think many felt, at Wigan. He did a good job to get them promoted last season. The reservations with a lot of Chesterfield supporters, as I guess with any manager who had such a big budget at his last club for the division at Wigan. I mean, £11 million wage budget in League One. I think there's only Sheffield United probably that can compete with that. So coming to a club like Chesterfield where it's going down to about £2.5 million, it's a big drop. But he still did the job, you know. He still had to get the players motivated, get the right players in to get them promoted, and they did it a canter, really. That they went up, won the division, and, you know, didn't really get the opportunity to showcase his talent in the Championship. Chesterfield have sold the club to him, and it sounds like he is there for the long term. It's a 2.5-year contract, so the idea is to keep them in League One this season, and then, as he was saying in his press conference earlier, it's to have a promotion push and build a football club at Chesterfield that is capable of playing Championship football. And, you know, you look at a Burton and a Rotherham, they're in the Championship. Mm. Why not Chesterfield?
Indeed, why not? And Gary Caldwell beating off the likes of Neil Redfern, Tony Mowbray was a late shout as well. So some experienced managers going for the job.
Yeah, they had a lot of good candidates, actually. I don't know where the Tony Mowbray rumour came from, though. The BBC had been duped with that one because they went quite big on it on their website. And I've not heard that name for the past couple of weeks. And covering Chesterfield, you know, I've heard everyone else who's been interviewed. So
it would have been an interesting one, given the fact that he left Coventry, who are below, obviously bottom of the table.
Yeah, I mean, look, he left Coventry, and Coventry City fans actually see Tony Mowbray as a man who did a decent job for them. You know, they didn't want him to leave. He left because of the ownership situation there. But I believe that I didn't even hear that Tony Mowbray had an interview, so that's why I was surprised that it came out of nowhere. Neil Redfern, I know, was interviewed and came very close to getting the job. Kevin Davis was another person who I know the club spoke to, but obviously a lack of managerial experience. Justin Edinburgh, I know that he was spoken to as well, but obviously he's gone and taken the job at Port Vale. So you know, there were some good names out there, some experienced names out there, but Caldwell seems to be the man because the visions They match the vision that Caldwell has, matches what the owners have at the football club. It would have been named before this weekend, but there was a sticking point. I understand that he had named three players that he wanted to bring in, and the football club were working out where they could afford them. And apparently that's been dealt with, so Chesterfield are going to have some new faces come in by the end of this window, which should hopefully give them a push to stay up. And yesterday the news broke that Ched Evans has signed a new deal as well, so that's good news, and things seemingly going in the right direction after a tough season so far.
Plenty of positivity as well. So new manager, news on contracts, news on incoming players, and as we said last week, looking at the point situation, particularly after the win at the weekend against Coventry, it's wide open for Gary Caldwell to go in there. That Chesterfield 25 points level with Shrewsbury above them and Bury, who are just outside the relegation places.
Yeah, funny weekend though, wasn't it, in League One? I mean, you look at the results there and the teams round and about Chesterfield all got victories as well. So it was a vital win against Coventry City. Poor game, I have to say. But Chesterfield just edged it and came out on top. But Shrewsbury getting a surprise win against Bradford, which no one really expected that. Bury picking up a point. Oldham, their game was postponed. So, you know, you look at the amount of game in hand, you know, below them. Oldham have got two. Coventry have a game in hand. And then MK Dons, who could be away, they've got two games in hand as well. It was a vital victory, but they got... they got the win, but you know that result that Walsall got against Sheffield United just proves that anyone can beat anyone on their day in that division. So, you know, with still a large amount of games to go, Gary Caldwell will just go in and be focusing on what he can do. And as long as Chesterfield continue to win their home games, which they have been doing in recent weeks, then they'll be fine. They'll stay up.
And for you, having seen Chesterfield week in, week out, you mentioned incoming players. How many players do you feel that they do need to guarantee a survival this season?
Well, I think they just need a creative midfielder. That is what they're lacking. And they allowed Gary Liddell to leave. He's gone to Carlisle United. He was the captain. But honestly, when you've got a guy like Ched Evans there, who is a goal scorer, particularly at that level, when he gets a chance, he takes it. The problem has been for Chesterfield that no one is creating chances for him. So if they can get a creative midfielder, maybe two, because a winger as well to get the ball into the box. So someone to create from central midfield, someone to create from out wide. Ched Evans will score goals, and that's why, you know, the likes of Bradford City and Sheffield United have possibly been linked with a move for him, because look, his record is there for everyone to see. Even now, when you look at his record, he still stands up at scoring a goal every other game, which, quite frankly, isn't bad. And, you know, even now he signed that extension, I feel a seven-figure sum would get him from Chesterfield. And, you know, maybe that's what's interesting. Maybe there might be some movement there before the end of the window. But as long as they keep Ched Evans, bring in a couple to create opportunities for him, they'll be fine.
And as Premsy was on the show earlier on, putting your Yorkshire football hat on, the 2 points from Naz was one that he thinks that Rotherham do have a squeaker of staying up, and he also believes anyone in the top six can go on and win the division.
What, in the Championship?
In the Championship.
I disagree with both of those points, I'll be honest. I think Rotherham are down. Unfortunately, it's come too little too late, and the fact that, you know, they are publicly trying to get a big fee for Danny Ward, aren't they? The fact that all this has been done in the press, the fact that they're turning down offers, and Paul Warne's talking about, well, we heard from him, didn't we? And he said before that in the pre-match press conference that, look, if a good offer comes in, we will sell him. Well, you're going to sell your top goal scorer. To me, that's holding your hands up and saying, look, we're going down, we want the money, and we'll rebuild for next season. Though it's going to be difficult to rebuild for next season because we're not quite sure if Warne's going to be there. So whoever brings in the players, if it's Warne or this head of recruitment, will the new boss actually want them? You know, that's... So I don't think Rotherham will stay up. And in terms of winning the division, I think it's Newcastle United. You know, the top six is very interesting. Looks as if that could be the top six, because there's that gap now, isn't there, between Sheffield Wednesday in sixth and the rest. But Newcastle United, they just have so much strength in depth. And, you know, to look outside of them to win the championship title, I just can't. I just can't see anyone else pipping them because their squad is so great. And they're going to spend some money in this window. They haven't really done as yet, but wouldn't surprise you if Rafa goes out there and brings in a couple more really good players who are set to play Premier League football next season, because that's what they're building up for, aren't they? They've got an eye on playing in the Premier League, so anyone that comes in has to be of that standard.
And if you had to pick a side, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, who does challenge for the title, would it be one of the Yorkshire sides? Could you see Leeds doing it? Can Sheffield Wednesday mount a challenge? Huddersfield from fifth?
No, I can't see any of them mounting a challenge. I think all of those three sides who you've just named, they'll be very happy with the playoff places. You know, before the season, I would have said Sheffield Wednesday, with the squad that they've got and even the players that they continue to bring in, they should be challenging for the title. But it hasn't worked out like that, and I think they're too far behind at the minute. Leeds are obviously closest to them, and they're playing really well. Gary Monk's done an incredible job there, but I just don't see them having the firepower to catch a Newcastle, because if there is an injury to Chris Wood, and I spoke about this in the past, they need to bring in a striker in this window because they don't have the depth up front. I like Antonsen as a player. I like Kemar Roof, and Dakara has been playing well under Gary Monk, but is he going to replace the goals that Chris Wood score as a Leeds United fan? No, he's not, is he, Tom?
No, definitely. He's too inconsistent, I think, and probably have to agree with you there on just the lack of depth. You mentioned Sheffield Wednesday, so it's nice that you compare the squads that they've got and the teams around Leeds and the typically top-end championship teams, just not the firepower there. And like you said, if Wood did get injured, it'd be a bit of a difficulty for Leeds to find those goals.
Same for Huddersfield as well, which is why they're in the market for a striker and in the market for Danny Ward, because they don't have the firepower.
I want team and position only in terms of your answer here. In terms of the Yorkshire teams, who finishes highest and what position?
Sheffield Wednesday, fourth.
Tom?
I'm going to say, based on performances and the belief, I'm not being biased, but I think Leeds may drop down a place. I don't know. I'm going to say confident. I'll say Leeds third. I think Reading might drop off a bit, of course, because Wednesday are going to push up the table a bit further. So I think it's going to be Leeds, Wednesday, Huddersfield, third, fourth and fifth.
You think Reading will be sixth then? See, I'm going Reading third.
I'm unsure with Reading. I don't know. I just think, obviously, it's similar to Leeds this season where they've not really been up there in the immediate past couple of years. And I don't know, I just with the squad Wednesday they've got, they've got to, and like you said, the players they're bringing in, they're going to have to push up the table even further at some point. And I think just watching Leeds and Huddersfield have been there all season, and Leeds are in form. So I think it's going to be potentially Reading who are going to drop down into that sixth place.
It's exciting, that's the one thing, particularly for us guys covering the Yorkshire sides. I mean, at the start of the season, we'd have probably been predicting doing a couple of relegation battles. And no, it's all for the playoffs and promotion. So it's going to be a really exciting running.
Indeed, exciting times ahead. Joe, thank you very much. Tom, it's time for this. Yes, it's the original Tom Carnduff feature. Good days, bad days. Very simple premise. Tom tells us who from each of the divisions had a good day and bad day from the previous weekend. Tom, where you go for this week?
So, as ever, we'll start in the Championship. It was a good day for Preston North End. They ended Brighton's 17-game unbeaten streak with a 2-0 victory at Deepdale. Great result for Simon Grayson's men. Bad day for Norwich City. We spoke about them already, losing to Rotherham, down to 10 men. And that, of course, means they now go 9 away games without a win. Not great form for a team who should really be up and around the playoff places. League One, good day for Bury. 5-1 demolition of promotion hopefuls Peterborough United ends a 20-game run without victory in all competitions. And then bad for, of course, Sheffield United, embarrassed at the hands of Walsall, and that ends their run of six straight victories into League Two. Good day for Cheltenham Town. They scored three second-half goals in a 3-0 victory over fellow strugglers Accrington Stanley. And then finally, it's bad for Colchester United, drawing 1-1 with Newport County, who have lost their last seven. Colchester had won the last five before that game. So good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much. That's it for good days, bad days this week. We are still going to talk some transfer gossip and have a quick look ahead to tonight's fixtures as well.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, Tom, let's do some transfer gossip and look at what you've got for us this week. We mentioned at the top of the show, Chris Wood.
Chris Wood, yes.
The value of this man is shooting up. We talked about Scott Hogan last week and his value, but for Chris Wood, he's been round and about. He's had a few injury problems over his career, but absolutely on fire now this season for Leeds. Now he's fully fit and, well, the $3 million Leeds paid for him is looking very good.
It is. I think we were sat here last season, especially at the start of last season when he came in. There were questions, there was a lot of criticism, and you know, I think at the time it was rightly so, the criticism. He wasn't performing to what he's shown this season to be his potential. Like you said, he's got the goals. £15 million price tag reportedly Leeds are going to put on him. We talk about Grant Ward and Rotherham. I think for Leeds, unless a ridiculous offer comes in, then do they really need to sell him? Do they really need the money, especially with, you know, a team and a club who should be looking at top two? I think £15 million, you could value him at that, but I don't know if I'd sell him unless you really had to at the moment.
Yeah, if I was a team, maybe in the Premier League, maybe be, I don't know, looking for a bit more football from Chris Wood before I splash that kind of cash. Robbie Keane, though, is available, and, well, Preston North End, one of the teams linked with him. Can you see that?
I can see it happening. This is something that came out yesterday, of course. Veteran striker, of course, club level, played at top club level, played for Ireland as well, of course, linked with that move to Preston. I can see it happening, but it does seem one of those kind of bizarre reports that do come out that maybe it's been mentioned or he is available. And do Preston really have fantastic firepower at the moment to call upon? Probably not. Robbie Keane, you know, he's not young, but you know he's going to provide goals. So for me, it's not too unrealistic, I think.
A few clubs in for Norwich City's Robbie Brady. He's one of Sean Dyche's top targets at Burnley. But Sunderland also looking at him, and a bid potentially gone in now.
Yeah, £12 million, which I think we spoke about Brady last week, actually, that I think it's going to be difficult for them to keep him. You're looking at how Norwich are at the moment. They're just falling down the table. They really are struggling. And I think it's going to be a big ask for him to turn it around and achieve playoffs, let alone promotion this year. So, of course, Robbie Brady, interest in those Premier League clubs.
Wolves, West Brom, looking at another of Brentford's players.
Yeah, Brentford. Kevin Dunn has been linked with a move, well, to the West Midlands. We're not sure which club yet, but Brentford have kind of gone into a bit of a pattern of being a selling club. Of course, Gray, Hogan is on his way out, reportedly, and now Dunn as well. So it's a difficult one, but again, a West Brom could potentially tempt him away with it being a Premier League club.
Aston Villa, Steve Bruce obviously looking to strengthen his squad. We talked about them earlier with Naz and not really picking up too much, but looking to strengthen, and Steve Bruce looking over in Germany.
Yeah, great name. Wolfsburg's Anton Donker is there looking at. I think he's only 19. He's quite an exciting prospect over in Germany. And Villa, of course, still the size of the club. It's this cliche big club. Not doing as well as they'd hoped, but of course, they're going to have to build to push towards the top end of the table. And this is a player they've identified to do just that.
Love the name, Anton Donker. linked with a move to Aston Villa from Wolfsburg. And just finally, we spotted this a little earlier. Joe mentioned Newcastle United and their potential transfer business. But there's quite an interesting story coming out of Newcastle today. Rafa Benitez has had to Well, there's talks that Mike Ashley is going to get more involved in transfers than before. There was a poll on the Newcastle Chronicle website of which transfer policy would you prefer, that of Rafa Benitez or Mike Ashley. Had over 5,000 votes, and, well, 98%. On it for Benitez, not surprisingly.
Exactly. Like,
bizarre story.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think those 2% are Sunderland fans. But it's incredible. Rafa Benitez hasn't done anything wrong in his recruitment so far. That shows. Look at where they are in the league. Of course, we expected them to be there in the league, but they're, you know, like Joe's saying, that they're signing players for the Premier League, and at this level, that's more than enough to get you up, of course. So I just... it's a bizarre story. I just don't see why he feels the need to kind of get involved and become a part of that side, because you got Benitez, experienced manager, won top trophies. I'd trust him with the money, especially as he's shown his commitment by staying at Newcastle throughout the Championship and following their relegation from the Premier League.
Yeah, it seems Rafa Benitez having to kind of brush off talk that he only signs older players, which is a little bit strange. So let's quickly look at... the games tonight across the board in the FA Cup third round replays. So we'll find out who Leeds United will be playing next. AFC Wimbledon meets Sutton. Barnsley against Blackpool. Burnley face Sunderland again. Fleetwood against Bristol City. Crystal Palace face Bolton. And it's Lincoln City hosting Tom's favourite manager of all time, Mick McCarthy's Ipswich Town. Bradford also in action in the Checker Trade Trophy. They're away at Cheltenham, of course. So if you had to pick an upset, Tom, for the FA Cup third round, where would you be going?
As much as it kills me to say it, I'm going to say Ipswich Town, just with the way they're going, and Lincoln will fancy it after that first leg.
Excellent. That's all for the FL 72 this week. Tom Maguire is next with your evening show. That's right after the news at 7 with Joe Rawson.